You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, you know the deal, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Thursday, which we like to refer to around here as Friday Eve. All right, let me jump over to my comments. My wife and I were talking this morning about the bully tactics that the left constantly tries to employ. I mean, I know you see them. Some of y'all probably experienced them. They scream profanities. They have riots. They're doxing people. The list goes on and on. But what I've noticed many times is that, like most bullies, the left does not know what to do when someone stands their ground with a command of the facts and just calls their bluff. A few years ago, I was involved in a protracted civil litigation. The lawsuit itself went on for 7 years. There were no less than 9 depositions, and that one case had its own filing cabinet at our office. It was a classic, you know, David and Goliath, two of Alabama's largest law firms against mine. And the lawyers involved from the other side, they loved to play games and try to use bully tactics. Well, one of their favorite tactics was to pretend that they misunderstood the deposition notices, and they had the people that were being deposed show up in a different order. You see, like most lawyers, when I know I'm going to depose more than one person, I stage them. I plan for them in a certain order so that the information I get from the first one can be used in the second one. It's just prior planning, and they knew that. So on one occasion, I let them know that I wanted to depose their corporate representative, the person they'd identified to represent the company. In an unusual tactic, they told me there were 2 individuals. They named 2 as their corporate rep. All right, not just 1, 2. So I noticed the depositions of both of them. Did all my prep work, had all my questions and exhibit staged to take rep number 1 first and rep number 2 second, and for good reason, because everybody knew that rep number 1 knew more about the facts of the case. So I loaded up my kit and caboodle and drove all the way down to Mobile, and sure enough, the next morning, they played dumb, said rep number 1, he was tied up, but I could go ahead and depose rep number 2 first. Well, I had to retool my questions and my exhibits and get everything ready, which took like over an hour of sitting in a side room at their office. So for nearly 6 hours after that, though, I took testimony from rep number 2. And when I was done, those 2 lawyers just glibly announced that I was done. They weren't going to let me depose the other guy, rep number 1. In their words, quote, technically, you just deposed the company, so you don't get 2 bites at the apple. It was the most underhanded, sneaky, unethical thing I've seen in the practice of law. In 20 years of practice, I have only ever had disagreements with other lawyers get to the point of a shouting match, maybe a couple of times, and that was one of them. At one point, one of the other lawyers told the court reporter, let's go off the record, at which point I looked at her and said, I'm paying your bill. You take down every word these lawyers say. She kept on typing. Well, one of them retorted, well, you noticed rep number 1 as the corporate rep, and you've already deposed his partner, so you're done. And at which point I was glad to announce, to their shock, they needed to go back and look at the deposition notice because I had designated him as both a corporate rep and a separate independent fact witness. Well, they were shocked, to say the least. So then they tried the old, well, we'll just take this up with the judge. And I said, fine, let's do it right now. I told the court reporter, you keep typing. And I pulled out my cell phone, and I called the judge on his personal line right then. Well, he came on the phone, and pretty quickly he read them the riot act. I got that deposition done over the next 7 hours. And it was obvious when I did why they were trying to keep me away from him. He had all the best information. He got caught in multiple mistruths. He couldn't explain 6 key points. Eventually, I drove that case to a settlement. A settlement that never would have happened if I had just let them shout me down. I will never forget a particular moment that day when we got off the phone with the judge. One of the other lawyers said to me, you're not making any friends here. We're not very happy with you. To which I just simply said, my client doesn't pay me to be your friend, and I'm not here to make you happy. We don't send each other Christmas cards either, I can just tell you. But listen, my client benefited because on that day when the bullies tried to get their way, I just stood my ground. But that kind of thing happens every day. The media, there's an example, they're notorious bullies. They love to target conservatives, and they will bring all they've got to bear, but they don't know what to do when someone calls their bluff, when someone stands their ground with a command of the facts. Not in the shouting match per se, just in sort of dismantling their lack of authority with actual facts. I watch Governor Ron DeSantis and soon-to-be Governor Kari Lake do it all the time. It's a command of the facts combined with a backbone and calling their bluff, and the next thing you know, the bullies are dismantled. We see it in the streets. Antifa and BLM rioters have had their way, demanding that public officials come out in the streets and actually kneel down before them. Literally kneel. Literally. You know where they don't get away with it? In places where the elected leadership indicates that they have a backbone and a command of the facts and a willingness to call their bluff. Take a look at Portland, a beautiful city, a city we hardly recognize now. Antifa is still rioting. The Chaz zones got set up for good there for a while in Portland and in Seattle. What was it the elected feckless leadership called it? Oh, yeah, the Summer of Love. Meanwhile, their city was destroyed, and it still reeks today of violence. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, I remember well during the L.A. riots in 1992. I've said it before here on the show, there was a group of Korean businessmen. They decided they were not about to succumb to the mob violence that was destroying neighborhoods. They became known as the Rooftop Koreans, who banded together and guarded their properties, and guess which businesses did not get burned? They were men who were armed with the facts, they had a backbone, and they called their bluff. You've all heard the famous quote by Sir Edmund Burke, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Well, there's an expanded version of that quote by a British conservative pundit named Theodore Dalrymple, who said this, and I quote, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph," said Burke, "is for good men to do nothing, and most good men nowadays can be relied upon to do just precisely that. Where a reputation for intolerance is more feared than a reputation for vice itself, all manner of evil may be expected to flourish." Bullies, the left, the so-called tolerant progressives, all that is needed is men and women with a backbone, a command of the facts, and a willingness to call their bluff. Get her done, Right Side Ruffians. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, if you don't remember that story about rooftop, Google it. Google rooftop Koreans. You'll find them. They stood their ground on the rooftops of their businesses and would not allow the rioters to come close. It was pretty epic. They're kind of like legends in L.A. now. But folks, I'm going to tell you, the left wants you to back down. They'll try to shout you down. Stand your ground with a command of the facts. Show them a little backbone. Call their bluff. Watch what happens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got plenty more. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, we're going to march forward here in the Triple Dipper in just a minute, but I know I got a call that came in during the break, so let me grab line one. Mike from Huntsville. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good.
Listen,
what's on your mind?
You were talking about bullying. I had a case in the Good Old Boys Roundup. It was national news back in the 90s where the ATF was having the racial parties in Ocoee, Tennessee. And I had a battle with the Department of Just Us beyond anything you've ever seen. They even did press releases saying that the video that my homicide detective client had shot at that thing. What happened is the police officer were tired of being called racist in the state. And they said, well, we'll show you who the racists are. And they had a video. And I had this battle. I had to fight everything. And Channel 7 with Kim Skeen on ABC was actually a good channel at that time. And they really did a good investigative thing. And I had actually taped the department actually threatening to falsely tell the public that my client was a racist. And they did all this stuff. And Michael Bromwich and I, who prosecuted all in North, almost got in a fist fight in the deposition in D.C. in the Department of Justice. These people have been planning this forever. I mean, they've been using this for a long time. Now they've got it down to a science to bully people and to cower them into submission by accusing them and using Selinsky's rules for radical tactics. It's a horrible situation, and it's being used against people, and it's polarizing on anything we've ever seen.
I think you're right, Mike. I mean, I think that the DOJ has especially been heavy-handed during both the Obama years and now again during Biden. But I think the left as a whole has that kind of mantra.
Well, they do. But see, Merrick Garland is absolutely in the same group that George Soros is in the sense both of them are Jewish but atheists. And they have that background in Merrick Garland. That's the reason he has targeted anybody who's religious and especially anybody who believes in America First, as you mentioned earlier. It's an unbelievable.
Oh, did we lose him? I think we just lost your signal, Mike, if you can still hear me. He just cut out mid-word. All right, he's gone. All right, well, Mike, good call, though, and I totally agree with you. Thanks for the work you've done and are still doing, I know, in the area. Wow. Yeah, listen, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I see that kind of bully behavior as being almost like, not, I won't call it par for the course. I mean, it's like well, Mike has quoted out, rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky. If you go and read the actual rules for radicals, you can just Google that if you haven't ever done it. Saul Alinsky, rules for radicals. That's one of the favorite books of Hillary Clinton, of Barack Obama. It's basically a guideline for how radicals on the left can move their progressive ideology, and it's the recipe for how they do it. It's not going to be like, here are the lofty ideals you should go for. They're talking about how do you do it. Like, one of their favorites is find the target, fix it, polarize it, and then drive it into submission. I mean, that's one of the rules. So that's why they do what they do. If you look at the left's playbook, they literally give themselves away. And I seem to recall there was even an image of Barack Obama when he was president walking out to Marine One on the White House lawn carrying a copy of Rules for Radicals with him when he walked out. I seem to recall that distinctly. I believe Hillary Clinton actually wrote a master's thesis on it or something like that when she was in her college years. I'm going from memory right now, but I seem to recall both. But yeah, it's interesting, and it's every day. And that's why we've got to make sure that we have people that are willing to say, I understand the facts. I'm comfortable with my command of the facts. I'm willing to stand up to you when you shout, when you try to dox, when you try to make something of it. And for that matter, let me just laugh back because you're making your own case, but you're not proving your point. You're talking inside your bubble, your echo chamber, but you're truly not making your point. You know, when these activists go to Matt Walsh's event, like we had I had a piece yesterday. Matt Walsh has got a tour going right now that'll be at the University of Alabama, I think it might be today, actually, where he's going to be doing the What is a Woman tour. And he did the same thing up at University of Wisconsin, and there were protesters there screaming profanities, shouting racism, which doesn't even equate to what they were there for, and ripping pages from the Bible and eating them. And you got to look at that and go, yeah, that's that's not normal behavior, first of all. But secondly, you're not making your point. And the conservatives, the YAF, the Young Americans for Freedom, they didn't back down. They said, we have a right to bring Matt Walsh to this campus. You can scream all you want, but that's the way it's going to be. And folks, what it takes is we have to have leaders that are willing to quit taking a knee. Charlene pointed out to me yesterday, I think it was, was it the Hungarian or Bulgarian premier that recently said that what is needed for leaders in the West is just to have a backbone. I mean, you look at some of the things coming out of the White House right now. Just have a backbone. Just say, no, I have no desire to do the interview with the transgender activist from TikTok. Then again, maybe they do have the desire. I don't know. But all said and done, folks, like I said, it's having a backbone. It's having a command. Know your facts. And by the way, don't just know your facts. Know how to define your facts. It's not enough to say, I believe. Sometimes you have to say, and here's why I believe. Here's the mental assent, but here's also the ability to then relate it to somebody else. You get your facts down, your command of the facts. So there's a difference. You can know 2 and 2 is 4. Can you explain why 2 and 2 is 4? Same is true with your conservative policy positions, your understanding of liberty, your willingness to see government downsized, but yet recognize that there's still a responsibility to defend government and to defend the idea of our nation. All these things that we as conservatives stand for. Can you explain them? Do you have a command of the facts? Not just I believe that. Have a command of the facts and then be willing, when they start shouting at you, to stand up and say no and say, that's not the way we're going to be. Y'all can just go ahead and shout all you want to, but I know where I am, and you can just take a flying leap and go pound some sand. All said and done, folks, that's what we need more of. That's what Edmund Burke meant when he said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, jumping right into the triple dipper, taxation fixation. We'll be right back.